I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Sons, the younger one left his home into the world. There he wasted his life doing many wicked things, but his father still waited patiently.
And he came to his senses and came running to his father. Forgive me.
Take the world.
There's a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There's a home in heaven or a burning lake of fire. Make a better choice with Jesus today.
It's heaven up above. Jesus died on the cross to save us sinners. Just believe and receive, and you will have abundant life, and your name will be in the book of life.
For there's no other name whereby you can be saved. It's Jesus,
with the Lord, we'll have a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying, never heard about salvation and the Savior.
Father's house, there are many mansions there. In that place, there'll be peace forevermore.
We're the saints, we're the friends, we're the Lord forevermore. In that place, there will be no kind of sorrow.
Human race, there are
God for another morning. And as we get closer and closer to Christmas, the season is getting fresher and fresher every day. You know, that whole Christmas feeling is starting to fill the air. And coronavirus or no coronavirus, this season is about Jesus Christ, and his name will be glorified as much as we can, because his name is above all names, and he is King and he is Lord forevermore. Amen. Right? You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do, Jesus. You're the center of my joy, Jesus. You're the center of my joy, Jesus. You're the center of my joy. All that's good, all that's good and perfect comes from you. Ooh, oh, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You're the heart, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for another morning, and thank you for the opportunity we have to go into your word. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Please open our eyes. Please overshadow our human failings and shortcomings, Lord. And let your presence be with us, Lord. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Give me utterance, Lord, as I share the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All right. So we've been talking about wisdom from the book, The Determinants, and we've been sharing about wisdom as a determinant, because the Bible says clearly that bread goes to the wise. Bread normally goes to the wise, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And verse 11, that unless time and chance happen to you, the bread will always go to the wise. And so we understand from the scripture that it's important to develop wisdom. It's important to grow in wisdom. The quality of life that you live has everything to do with the amount of wisdom that you have. You can't live above your wisdom, you know. And so it's important that we develop and grow in wisdom. Wisdom is an attribute of God. And the more we know him, the closer we get to him, the more we will walk in his wisdom. Okay. Now, last time we were talking about the sources of wisdom, how to develop your wisdom. Number one is to notice and recognize things noticing, recognizing things is the first step to developing wisdom. Noticing and recognizing things is the first step. Number two, considering and thinking and meditating is a step to wisdom. That means we must be careful to think through, to consider, to notice, to observe, to look at the things that God allows us to see. We read a verse from Proverbs chapter 24 about somebody who went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, you know, and he said, lo, it was grown all over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. He says, then I saw and considered well. I looked upon it and received instruction, right? I saw, I considered well, I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction, right? So you notice that instruction didn't just come by seeing, you know, but instruction comes when we follow our seeing with considering. Considering it well, meditating, thinking through things, right? That is how instruction is filtered out of the things we see, right? Everything we see around us is a message and has a message for us. And sometimes you need to ask yourself, many times I ask myself, I mean, why has God allowed me to see this? Especially when I see something that gets my attention or something that is unusual or something that is uncommon, or even hear a piece of news that is uncommon. I just ask, why am I in this situation? Why am I seeing this? And why has God allowed me to see this? And that's a good question to ask, because you begin to open the door to administration, right? And you can see it says instruction. This guy said he received instruction. And instruction is like a command, what to do, right? And he said, when I considered it well, I received instruction. I received direction on what to do, which is about the only thing you really need in life is what to do next. You know, Prophet was teaching this morning about the next step, right? And really, the next step is to know what to do. What should you do next? You know? And that is very important. So instruction will be received when you consider things. Many of us are not given to meditation at all, right? Especially people who don't spend time by themselves. You get it? These days, our lives are totally taken by the screens. And the screens just control us all the time. Basically, you are taken in by what you're seeing on the screen. And that is it. And it doesn't allow for meditation. But meditation is when you are by yourself, with yourself, into yourself, thinking about the things that God has shown you and the things that God is teaching you. And then you start to receive instructions. Do you understand? So perhaps if we will reduce our screen time and start to get into meditation, and into intentional pondering and consideration of the issues, the things, the scenarios, the situations we're in, you know, because I realize thinking is something you have to do intentionally. Sometimes you need to sit down and think through something. And as you think through it, you begin to have solutions. You begin to have ideas. Even as you think through things, you start to write things down. You'll be surprised that you are able to chat your way into a solution or into an idea just because you gave it time, do you see? But often, most of us are given to just incidental thinking, which is thinking that is just happening. It's just incidental to the occasion or to the situation. It's just a thought that flashes through your head, and that's it. So let's practice considering, thinking, and meditating, and it will be a blessing to us. Amen. Now, the other one we talked about last week, acknowledging and honoring, is a step to knowledge, right? Acknowledging and honoring. And a good example is the Queen of Sheba, who is also called the Queen of the South. And the Bible says that she came from far away to acknowledge Solomon's wisdom and Solomon's knowledge. And you find it in Luke chapter 11, verse 31. The Bible says, the Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Right? Now, the point, this is actually a quotation from Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying that the Queen of the South, who is the Queen of Sheba, she will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, Jesus was saying that someone who is greater than Solomon is here, and no one seems to be paying attention to him as they ought. And then he refers to the king of the Queen of the South and says that she, at the judgment, she is going to be a witness. You know how in a court, the prosecutor will call some witnesses and so on. Says the Queen of the South is going to rise up as a witness in the judgment against the men of this generation. Why? Because she traveled a much further distance for a lesser privilege, right? She paid a higher price for a lower blessing. And so she was willing to travel when she heard about Solomon's wisdom. She was willing to travel all the way from wherever she was just to come and hear, just to come and encounter Solomon's wisdom. And now a greater than Solomon is here, and the people are not paying attention to him. Do you see? And that's the point that was being made. Hallelujah. And so this is a very important message over here. And we need to get that point that sometimes people are even surprised that we travel to places to go and hear the word of God. You know, even people are surprised. We have the privilege of having internet. Most of us don't pay anything extra for internet, you know, just because we watch more programs or whatever. We have unlimited access, in other words, you know. But I've been to places where people have to buy the data, you know, program by program, service by service. Do you see? Yeah. And you find people like that joining programs like the Flow Prayers and other important events. And you find people stretching themselves and doing much more. And then we who have, let's say, unlimited, nonstop, high-speed internet that flies, you know, we would be sitting there and we would not be listening to such programs. We would not even watch it. Some people have to go to a particular place in order for them to experience the internet. And they do get up and go to that place. Now, we have internet in our pockets, in our kitchens, in our bedrooms, in our bathrooms, you know, everywhere there's internet, you know, and we would not take advantage of the blessing that God has given us often. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And he said that the people who were living at the time, he said that the Queen of the South will rise up, and in the judgment, she'll rise up and say, I'm a witness. She will say, I'm a witness. You know, she will say that I'm a witness that these people have abused the opportunity that was given them. These people have despised the blessing that was given them. Why? Because of the distance I traveled. I traveled a very far distance to encounter something that was far less than what was brought to them right next to them. You know, so may she not rise in judgment against us also. Hallelujah. We are blessed to have great, rich ministry that we can access easily just by tuning in, just by connecting to the programs and the events of our time. And we must not joke with it. Can I have an amen? Number four.
Amen. Amen.
Number four, way of developing wisdom or growing in your wisdom is listening and hearing. Listening and hearing. Just listening and hearing. And the best example of this is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 44 to 51. Luke chapter 2 from verse 44 to 51. And we see the story of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Hallelujah. Now, anyone who listens is receiving knowledge and wisdom. Jesus Christ listened to the seniors in the temple. That is how he became so wise. Those who do not listen to preaching messages are not wise. The more you listen to the word of God, the more you become wise. Hallelujah. So listening is very important as far as growing in your wisdom is concerned. You know, to know things, you must hear things, right? To be able to use wisdom, you must know a lot of things. And to know things, you must hear a lot of things to know a lot of things, right? And Jesus seemed to have a habit of listening to people. So even the people he was listening to, the Bible says they were surprised and amazed at his understanding. But what he was doing right there was providing the explanation for that understanding, that it seems this boy has a habit of fellowshipping with people beyond him, people whose understanding and knowledge were ahead of him. And based on that, he was exposed to much knowledge, do you see? And therefore, it wasn't surprising that he knew as much as he knew. And whatever they were experiencing, which they were surprised by, he was doing it again right with them. As he was listening to them, the Bible says he was with doctors. Jesus was not intimidated by doctors. He was with the doctors of law, the doctors of medicine. I mean, PhDs, that's what doctors means. Do you see? And Jesus was with such people, and he was both hearing them and asking them questions. And they all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Now, there are some people who cannot and do not listen to people at all. Do you see? And it's an unfortunate thing. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. My kids told me one time that this was my favorite verse because I used to share it with them often when they were much smaller. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, right? It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. It's interesting. Look at who is hearing to increase learning. The one who is already wise, not even the one who wants wisdom, but the one who is already wise, who has wisdom, is the one who is hearing and increasing learning. You see, and that is how life is. The Bible says, to him that has, more will be given. Do you see? And then the one who doesn't have, even what he has, is going to be taken away. And you can see that people who have a habit they practice, which is why they have, and that habit continuing, they will only have more. Look at the scripture. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. It's amazing that the one who didn't seem to need more learning is the one who is acquiring more learning. Now, the one who does not have it, as you will see in the next verse, it says, fools despise instruction. Do you see? Maybe not in that place. Okay, I'll get that one for you soon. But anyway, right? He says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's right. That's verse 7. Yes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The one who needs it is the one who despises it. This is fantastic. The one who needs it is the one who says, I don't want it. And the one who doesn't need it is the one who says, I want it. But that is the way it goes in life. Many people who need wisdom reject wisdom. They shun wisdom. They shun opportunities to receive wisdom because someone is talking to them. Often it is our pride that makes us think we know, that makes us not want to listen to somebody. But if we have wisdom, the first thing our wisdom will teach us to do is to acquire more wisdom. If we have wisdom, our wisdom will guide us into more wisdom. Our wisdom becomes capital, which allows us to trade and to have even more wisdom. Do you see? So wise people, they hear, they listen. You get it? They listen. And if you listen to something and it turns out you know it already, you don't lose anything. What you already know rather becomes established. You become more convinced about what you already know. You become more sure about what you already know. Why? Because it's being reaffirmed. The Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. So sometimes you've even heard something, but it's not really established in you as a truth, you know. And when something is not established in you, it does not form part of your thinking, do you see? Because it's not established in you as a truth or as a reality, do you see? But when something becomes established in you, you don't even make an effort to bring it up. When it's called upon, or when the situation before you calls for such knowledge, that knowledge, if it's established in you, just floats. It just comes up, you know, and that's just the next thing you do. You see, once the situation calls for it, it just comes up. It's like someone asking for your phone number. You don't have to remember it. Do you see? It's knowledge that is there. It's really established in you. And all you need is a situation that calls for it. When the situation calls for it, you just deliver it because it's established. It's knowledge that has become part of you, right? And it is hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that brings a person to that place. One of the things we must do often is to hear, listen to messages. A wise person, you know, if you listen to a lot of messages, if you listen to lots of preaching and lots of teaching and lots of preaching and lots of teaching, you it just increases your knowledge and just increases the things that you know. Hallelujah. This past happened to me listening to a certain message, and then the verse that was used is a verse that I've never seen before. I mean, I was just wondering, how could such a verse be hiding in plain sight right in this Bible? You know, but I have never, I've read the book where the verse was taken from. I've read it before, and but I never saw that verse, you know. And here it was staring at me. In fact, when the man put it on the screen, when they put the verse on the screen, I said, no, I have to check whether it's the same version of the Bible. So I went to my Bible to check to see if the verse was correct. And when I checked it, to my shock, the verse was sitting right there in the same way that the man had put on the screen. I said, wow, what a verse. Your knowledge just goes up just by listening and listening and listening. So those who do not listen to preaching, I'm not talking about being in church. I'm not, that being in church is a different kind of listening. Do you see? But I'm talking about you by yourself, you know, at your own leisure, you know, spending time just listening. You are just listening, exposing yourself to knowledge. And it's going to increase your wisdom greatly. It's going to increase your knowledge base out of which you dispense your wisdom, and it will greatly affect your life. So always remember Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear. A wise man will hear. Do you understand? There are some people, sometimes when someone is telling you something that you think you know already, you suddenly switch off. Even worse are those who say, you've told me this thing already. You see, you've told me this thing already. Sometimes you find people trying to make conversation and just trying to create a flow. And then the person happens to say something you know already. Instead of killing the flow, why don't you just hear? Because the least you'll be doing is identifying with the wise, which is that you would be one of the wise people, because a wise man will hear. It's true, he's already wise. So he probably even knows what is being said already. But the wise man will hear. Allow people to talk. Allow people to share. Allow people to reason with you. Allow people to speak. It will only lead to one thing. You will increase learning. That means you don't lose anything. If anything at all, you go up. He says he will increase learning. You will not decrease in your learning. It won't cost you anything. And it is not a waste of time. It is just because you are proud that you don't want to listen to something that you think you know already. But sometimes you see that as you listen to the same thing and listen to the same thing, you find yourself learning more and more and more. Have you listened to preaching before that you thought you heard? Even preaching, sometimes you were in the service. And when you listen to it a second time, there's so much that you didn't hear. You know, yes, you were in the service. You were there when the message was preached. And you think you've heard the message. Then later on, as you try to listen to it again, you realize there's so much you didn't hear. What was going on? And that happens to me all the time, even when we're watching the flow service. So I watch the flow service on multiple screens, you know, including one on YouTube, so that I can tap and rewind and just, what did he say? You know, and then I just go to my other screens and, you know, work out my whole thing. You know, it's a whole studio type of session that I do. And I recommend that to you. Engage every device you have. Add your phone and your iPad and your everything. Just engage every device you have. You've already paid for the device, isn't it? So you might as well make it work. Do you see? So don't let any device be lying there idle. The least it should be doing is it should be speaking in tongues. So you find some YouTube or some of the previous flow sessions and let your phone be speaking in tongues for you and just be praying and creating a good atmosphere while you're listening to something that is enriching your Christian life. Hallelujah. Listen, because Jesus listened and he grew in his wisdom. Look at verse 52 of the passage we just read. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Right. What happened? Jesus increased in wisdom. Are you surprised? He increased in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. Why? Because he had a lifestyle, he had a habit that made him learn. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is not bad at all. Do you see? This is not bad at all. As a result of hearing, Jesus increased in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. His wisdom multiplied. He increased in wisdom. He increased in his knowledge. He increased in favor with God and with man. I see that being your story also in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Already filled with wisdom. Look at it. Look, if you go back to verse 40. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Can you see? Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You know? So he's already filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. You would have thought filled means there's no more room for wisdom then. At least we can see in verse 40 that Jesus is not experiencing a shortage of wisdom. Do you see? He's already filled with wisdom. And then yet in verse 46, it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. This is the guy who is already filled with wisdom.
Wow.
Do you see? He's already filled with wisdom, Pastor Charles.
You are preaching.
And the guy looks like he doesn't need to know anything anymore. But he's gone to the place that he's listening. So you who says that you don't listen to preachers, or you don't listen to pastors, and you don't listen to messages, you don't listen to anybody, you don't even listen to your wife or listen to your husband, come on.
Hey.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with you. And even worse are the children who wouldn't listen to their parents.
I'm preaching.
It's so bad. So unlike Jesus Christ. So not like Jesus Christ. So if you're wise, you will listen. You will listen. You would be eager to hear people talk. You would be eager to hear what they have to say. You won't even be hiding your issues. You see, sometimes people hide issues because they don't want anybody to say something about it. And what's sad is because they think they know what the person will say.
That's one.
So that makes you even more of a fool, because if you know what the person will say, why don't you do it? Do you see what I'm saying? But on the other hand, you may be surprised that that's not even what they will say. What you think they'll say is not what they'll say. You have prejudged the situation and you have screened your wisdom off and excluded yourself from a world of knowledge and experience you could benefit from, which could change your life and which could be a blessing to you. That was not Jesus Christ. Jesus exposed himself to the doctors, and he exposed himself to the teachers. And the next point is actually just related to that. It's from the same scriptures, which is the next way to grow your wisdom is to ask questions. Ask questions. Do you see? Yeah, because Jesus was both hearing them and asking questions. He was asking them questions. He wanted to know. Do you see? Yeah. And questions are very good. And you must not discourage people around you from asking questions. And you must encourage always people who ask questions. We must never shut down people who ask questions. In fact, when people ask questions, it's a revelation of their understanding. The questions people ask reveals their understanding. You see, and it shows their mind is working. The mind is working on whatever the subject is. Do you see? They are thinking. Questions reveal intelligence. It reveals room for acquiring more knowledge. That's why people ask questions. And God's attitude towards people who ask questions is to answer them. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God said, if you open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. Do you see? Yeah. Our attitude shouldn't be ask people open their mouth wide, you shut it up. No, God didn't say,
open your mouth wide
and I'll shut it up. No, no, that's not what God does. It says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God will fill it. When people ask questions, we must try to answer them. And we must be patient with people too. Because sometimes the questions they ask or people's questions can be irritating to you if you don't understand that everybody needs a chance. Everybody needs a chance. That's how children learn, by asking a lot of questions, you know. And you need a parent who is patient enough to fill your mouth with the answers as they come. When somebody asks a question, it's a sign that the person is ready for the knowledge of the answer to the question. The person is ready for it. That's why they're asking that question. So that's why you must give your best answer, because the mouth is open at that point. So you put the answer to the question in, and what a blessing it becomes to that person. Yes, that's the verse. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. God said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Do you see? So when people are asking questions, it's a sign that their mouth is open. It's a sign that they are ready for that knowledge. They are ready for the next level of wisdom. So if it occurs to you, don't be afraid, don't be shy, just ask questions. Don't sit back there in your house and draw your own conclusions and be led astray. You see, sometimes we have questions, but we answer them ourselves. Do you see? We have questions, we answer them ourselves, or we receive answers from devils and demons that minister to us, do you see? And then they lead us astray. So instead of staying in your house and forming an opinion about the church, an opinion about the pastor, an opinion about people, and so, why don't you just come and ask? Do you see? Come and ask. You want to know why my background is red or whatever? Just come and ask.
Messy.
Why is it red? I don't know. I just came to the studio and they had made it red. And that's that. I also just came to preach. So I'll point you to another person to ask. Do you see the thing? But you just need to ask. You shouldn't just stay in your house and just say that now this thing is red because they are supporting a team whose color is red. And now they brought the soccer into
Liverpool.
As Liverpool, Liverpool,
Manchester
United pastor, you know, you're just making a mistake. You're just making a mistake. Don't draw your own conclusions. Ask questions. And if you're privileged that someone will ask you a question, it's a sign that the person recognizes you as a repository of knowledge. Accept that compliment by answering the question. Do you see? When someone asks you a question, it's a sign that they have respected you, they have honored you as a source of knowledge. They feel that you know. So accept that honor, embrace that honor, by receiving the question and attempting to answer it. When you shut them down, you give them the opposite impression. You give them the opposite message. You show that you are empty, that they made a mistake in assuming that you possess knowledge. So answer the questions. Answer the questions. And don't look down on people because they have a question. Don't look down on people because they ask a question that you wouldn't have asked. No. We let the answers flow. And as the answers flow, the people are blessed. And when you sow answers for people, you will also reap answers from others, because you will also have your own questions. Do you see? And so ask questions. Don't be shy. If you don't know how to cook something, ask a question. Just ask someone who knows. There are so many people who know how to cook a lot of things. Do you see? So maybe it's not your area. It's not your kind of thing. Ask the question. Just ask the question. How do you cook this?
Bongo chicken.
Yeah. You want to make bongo chicken? Just ask questions. Amen. You see? Because there are people who make bongo all day. Okay. And they will have answers to the questions, and it will be a blessing to you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
The next one is understanding is the next step to wisdom. Understanding is the next step to wisdom, right? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19, the Bible says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Right? When people do not ask questions, they often do not gain understanding. Right? So questions lead to understanding. Yeah. Questions lead to understanding. Hallelujah. If you ask questions, it will lead to understanding. Knowing something in a shallow way is very different from knowing something in great depth. Right? People who argue a lot over little points reveal a lack of understanding. Failing to ask questions is the master key to remaining in the realm of a lack of understanding. Look, don't let anybody keep you down and out of knowledge and understanding. Always ask your questions and you will be blessed. Amen? Then the last point is copying. Copying. Copying is a big step to acquiring knowledge. Copying is a big step to acquiring knowledge, right? And this is Jesus Christ right here. Let's read this one, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness. and wondered at the gracious words that proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Right? Now, this is interesting. But it says, most things cannot be understood in their entirety. When you start to copy and do things that others are doing, you begin to grow in understanding. As it is as you obey that you understand the reason why things are done a certain way, right? Now, this is about the first sermon that Jesus preached. Jesus was preaching from the teachings of Isaiah, right? The passage we just read in Luke chapter 4 and from verse, I think, 17 or 18, thereabout, that passage is also found in Isaiah chapter 61. Right, why don't you turn to it? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, and then compare that with Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Now let's read Luke 4, 18. Luke 4, 18. Right? Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Right? So these words of Jesus were actually the words of Isaiah. Do you see? Jesus was actually preaching a message that had been preached already by the book of Isaiah, or by Isaiah in his book. So as Jesus stood there and he preached, the Bible says he spoke with authority. Look, the people were in shock and they were just looking at him. And the Bible says they wondered at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth. So much so that they asked the question, is not this Joseph's son? They were so impressed and so blessed by his preaching. They so just wondered, is this seven, not the person we knew?
3, 4, 5 steps.
They were right. That was Joseph's son. But Joseph's son was looking great. His words were gracious and powerful because he had copied them from Isaiah.
Powerful.
Do you see? So copying something that is successful, something that's already great, can shoot you forward. Do you see? And make you look even far greater than you are. Just by being humble enough to copy. Because you get to speak gracious words that are not your own. You get to speak powerful words loaded with wisdom, a very high level of knowledge, which you have not attained yourself. Just by copying. But most of the time, people are too proud to do what somebody else is doing. Some of us need to copy how people dress. We need to copy how people cook. We need to copy how people relate with their spouses. We need to copy how people relate with their children. We need to copy. But you've cut yourself off and you think that you know or are supposed to know everything just because you're male or female. That's not how it works. You don't know things just because of your gender. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You have to humble yourself and be taught. And when you humble yourself, you will learn. You will learn. And people will wonder at the gracious words that are coming from you. You see? And why? Because they think they know you. Do you see? They know you. The people knew Jesus. Said, this is Joseph's son. In fact, I can imagine that as Jesus stood up to preach and they saw it was Joseph's son, some people closed their notebooks. They were not even going to write any notes anymore because who is this preacher? This is just someone we know. But then when he opened the scriptures and he began to speak the words of Isaiah, They said, wow, I mean, such powerful, wild, strong statements. And they were so blessed and impressed. But all he was doing was just copying. I mean, and he copied the thing exactly. Yeah, Jesus was very wild.
Ditto.
Plagiarism. Church.
Word for word. Isaiah 61 verse 1. And when he preached it like it was his message. And he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. That means the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's me. I'm the one. The Spirit of the Lord. It's upon me.
And he sat down.
Yes. Do you see? Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with copying something. If it's a blessing, it's a blessing. Do you see? And you find the greatest people are always copying something from someone. They're always quoting something from someone. They're always, even some, one day I read a book about how to write a speech or something like that. And one of the things they were saying was you need to make your speech rich by quoting others, do you see? So that's why you see the politicians and so on. They always try to quote something from Socrates or something from Shakespeare or bring something from there to enrich your speech. Do you see? Yeah. They're always quoting something. The presidents, they'll be quoting President Reagan. They'll quote some John Adams something. They'll quote some Abraham Lincoln. I mean, they just be quoting different people all the time, right? Copy what is good that has worked. Copy the wisdom that is before you that has worked and apply it to your life and it will be a blessing to you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will grant us grace to grow in wisdom in the name of Jesus. Bless us today, Lord. Improve our wisdom, Lord. Give us humility, the humility we need, Lord, to grow and to develop in our wisdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you want to give your life to Christ this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer. Just join us as we say this prayer together. Okay. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we continue in our sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we ask people to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, because Jesus died for our sins. Jesus is for our sin. Jesus is God's way of showing love to us by sending his only begotten Son to die for us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that's what this prayer is about. And if you can relate with it, then I want you to say this prayer with us, okay? So let's all say this prayer together. Say with me, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know I am a sinner.
I know I am a sinner.
And you died for my sins.
Please
come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
I give my life to you, Jesus. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Powerful. Father, we thank you for everyone who prayed this prayer with meaning. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them with the gift of salvation. Reveal Jesus to us all. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, if you said that prayer and you meant it, I want you to send us a message. There's a number coming up on your screen. Just send us a message at that number. And there's a special book here that we would like you to have. And we will make sure that we rush one of them to you. How you can be born again and avoid hell. And also this book here that says how you can become a strong Christian, right? How you can become a strong Christian. This is a book that will change your Christian life, will help establish you in Christ, and it will be a blessing to you, okay? So please make sure that you grab or send us your number, and we'll send you one of these books free of charge, and it will be a blessing to you. Amen.
The number is 818-659-8688.
So we'll join our pastor from the First Love Center, which is where he pastors and preaches. We want to join him as he prays and leads us in the communion this morning. Okay, so take your communion, everybody. Take your communion. If you don't have communion, please find a piece of bread, all right, or a little biscuit or something that can represent the body of Jesus Christ, and it will be a blessing for you. Communion is very important. God gives us an opportunity to interact with Him, you know, in a very intimate way, very personal way, by the communion. So don't leave yourself out of communion. Don't get so religious that you leave yourself out of communion. Maybe you've committed some sin, or for some reason you feel unworthy. Well, that's also the reason why you need the communion. The communion is a healer. The communion is a cleanser. And so long as you're truly sorry, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He will forgive us. And then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from every sin. So you need it even more, right? You need Jesus. We don't come to Jesus because we are already pure. We come to Him so that He will make us pure. Hallelujah. So let's go over to the First Love Center and join the prophet as we have this communion experience.
Holy Communion is an important thing that the Lord gives to us to celebrate. And as we partake of this bread, amen, we are doing something that is critical, that is key and important in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, as we come before this Holy Communion table, I want us to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Amen.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. You know, God has bread that He gives us supernaturally. And when we partake of His bread, it sustains us. Now, Jesus said that I greatly desired to eat this bread and to have this supper before I suffer. I really wanted to have this, to eat this Passover, which is to eat the bread before I suffer. It was something that he really desired. Why? Because there was a very special blessing that would come when they shared the bread together. So he said, with desire, I have desired. With what? Desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. With desire, I have desired. I really, really want to have this. It's a blessing. It's a special blessing that comes from the Lord and that comes from God. With desire, I have desired greatly. Amen. And I believe that with desire, God desires that as we are even having this church service, He desires this part of the service. With desire, I have desired to have this aspect with you also, because a great blessing will be imparted to us. Stand to your feet.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
For with desire, meet indeed, I have desired to eat this with you. Father, we thank you for this amazing blessing. Bless us and let the great things that you have ordained for us come into our lives through this amazing meal of the Passover, the body of Jesus Christ. And now the blood, with desire, I have desired. May your sins be forgiven. May your mistakes be blotted out. May every fall turn around for your victory. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. Although everything fails, you will not fail.
Amen.
May you go forth,
amen,
from this place greatly victorious.
Amen.
Whatever you were not successful in, whatever mistake of Vashti you have made, you are recovering from it now. There's great hope for you, because Christ in you is the hope of your glory. Christ in you is the hope of your beauty. Christ in you is what gives hope about you and about your special life. May you be a special person.
Amen.
In the house of the Lord. May your place never be taken by another. May you see the better alternatives and adjust yourself quickly. Be blessed of the Lord from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. wherever you are living, in whichever pandemic zone you may be, may the Lord help, save, heal, protect, and keep you supernaturally. I bless you to never fail, although everything around may fail. Your portion is to never fail. And those that believe the prophecy shall experience it. For the prophecy you believe is the prophecy you receive. Be blessed of the Lord. Be encouraged. Be healed. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. 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 I love that prayer. God bless you all. And let's believe God. You know, we're living in a very complex time. There's disease and all around us. There's death all around us. But we thank God for the prophetic word and the prophetic prayers, right? And these are times where blessing counts. You know, to be under a blessing matters at this time. And I don't want you to joke with it. Nobody should play with it. And let's really connect by faith to the pronouncements, to the blessings, to the prayers, and to all that God has made available to us at this time to combat this virus and this season. And I believe by the grace of God, we will continue to survive, we'll continue to stand. God will keep and preserve us. Those of us in California, the news has not been good, but our God is good. And so it is well with us. No matter what, we'll still be here by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen. So-